of comes together and whatever, and then we come together on Sunday morning, just what we sing in worship and what we share always, it just meshes, and it's so encouraging to me, and I feel guilty sometimes in worship and in the sharing and stuff, because it's like, I know what the Lord's put on my heart, and it's like, you're not able to see, so hopefully during the message you'll be able to see how the Holy Spirit has worked this and brought it together. So a few weeks ago now, we looked at what God's work is like, what it's for in our lives, what it's doing out of Ephesians 2, and it's, we are created, integrated with Him, one with Him, meshed in with Him, and sin disintegrated us, pulled us apart, and destroyed that, the likeness, even though we're so created in this image, but we got disintegrated, and the whole point of salvation is to reintegrate, bring us back together. Then last week we looked at the downside, the negative side of Ephesians 2, where Paul might have written to those outside the faith who are still disintegrated, still far from Him, still without God and without hope in the world. And so, but the work is still going on, and his work is still something that he wants to accomplish in the world, even as Keith was praying earlier. So I want to kind of look at this, and I was really struck by this last song, Everywhere I Go, I See You.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways that's true, and then there are other times I wish it were true. I wish I were seeing God in things. Because sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the junk and in the mess and in the stress and in the hardship. And it's not like we think He's not there. We just don't think. We're just caught up in our stuff and we get self-centered. And so it's almost like everywhere I go, I want to see You because I know You're there.
Yeah.
And as we look at this morning, I'm sort of just calling this the time of our lives. And I thought afterwards, I'm not really sure where the phrase actually came from, but I'm sure there's a way we could find that out too. But here's what I'm saying here in this. We're looking at Luke chapter 4 this morning, this familiar passage. But Jesus made an announcement at His hometown synagogue in Nazareth that inserted into the whole human story a dynamic that is still producing reintegration and healed lives around the world. Favor, the Lord's favor, the age of the Lord's favor, seen and expressed and experienced in Jesus. We live today in the year of the Lord's favor. It's at work like yeast through all the wonky seasons of our lives to stimulate reintegration and healing and bring glory to the Father. And I think because God is faithful and He can't deny Himself and all the other things that we know about Him, He's good and He's faithful and He's just. And some of these situations we've talked about this morning, it's like, it's really hard to know why people go through these situations. And yet, I think what is really true biblically is that in all of these seasons, even the wonky ones, the ones that are off balance and all that, God is working in it,
right,
to reintegrate and heal us, not causing it like some branches of the church are trying to say. It's always, if something negative happens, it's because of your sin and failure, that there's nothing of God in that. That if God wanted to do that, if He wanted to reject us and find fault with us and accuse us and leave us in our mess, He would have done it to begin with. So we really need to just keep underlining this thing. God is good, God's faithful,
yes.
God's just, and He's not looking for excuses to expel us from the kingdom or to unadopt us. That's just, we've been lied to so many times.
Yeah.
And, when we sang that song, I've heard so many songs. And some of those songs are dark, lying songs that,
yes,
try to penetrate our hearts,
yes,
and tell us the most insidious, horrible things about God, which are totally not true. So,
amen. Just the way I like to express it, God is for us.
Yes.
He's
for us.
He is for us. Who can be against it? He is for us.
That's right.
And we have to keep that in the front of our mind.
Yeah. So the fact that God is for us all the time.
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, we can see him everywhere we go. And not only can we see him, but he wants us to see him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you search for me, what?
Find
good
me.
Luck? No. You will find me. Because he wants to be found.
Yeah.
He wants us to know how near he is and how perfect his provision is for every season of our lives. And so that's what I want us to look at that this morning, and I want us to do some fun sharing, because I think we don't do enough of this probably. So the two meshed verses out of Luke 4 are here on I've written them out here. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I just wanted to focus in on this one of the things Jesus was called to do, to proclaim the year or the age of God's favor, which we
yes.
still live in. And then, because that's just a little snippet out of this passage, I want to read Luke 4, verses 14 through 30. And Jeff, if you're listening, you need more light in this living room. But anyway, besides that. So from Luke 4, 14 through 30, Jesus went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All of the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard them. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So we've heard this passage hundreds of times. So I just wanted to look at it briefly, because I really want to get to number 4 on the list. It's probably the most important thing we're going to do this morning. But the number 1 is the announcement. So Jesus makes the announcement that he's sent and favored by the Lord. He has the Spirit of the Lord on him. And specifically this morning, the announcement is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was no small thing. Israel has come through 4 centuries of heavenly silence. Heaven silence, not heavenly. It wasn't very good for them. But it was 4 centuries since anything new had happened, any indirect intervention of God in their circumstances. And they've been waiting. So for 400 years, they've been in this situation where they've been waiting and hoping and trusting and praying, and probably for the most part continuing to recite and tell these stories of their past to the next generation. But so 4 centuries, that's like we'd be living, you know, we haven't heard anything of God since the year 1619. I mean, that's just weird. I mean, that's like King James-ish, you know? And so, but here they are, they're in this situation. Jesus comes, and after this gigantic gap,
yeah.
Jesus reads the Isaiah scroll, which was fine, you know, scripture, it was the prophecy, it was kind of the scripture of the day or whatever, and everything was fine, and he starts talking, and they're all super impressed. You know, they didn't know what fulfilled this in this day was your hearing. But so he makes this announcement that I'm here, I'm the one, and I'm the one to announce to you that the year of the Lord's favor has begun. There's been an inbreaking of the kingdom, and I'm here. I am the one you've been waiting for. That's basically what he's saying. Number two, the unmasking. What is Jesus unmasking? The reality is, they don't want God messing with their lives. They really don't anticipate that God's intervention is going to mess with their lives. They like the way it is, kind of. Maybe, you know, they just like the pain, or they like the whatever it is that they're living with, and the fact that they're now dominated by Rome and whatever, but it's the way things are. There's a status quo that's been established for them. And so when Jesus is talking, you know, he makes this statement that really, you know, you guys are, you know, it's interesting that Luke records that they all spoke well of him. Isn't this wonderful? All these gracious words. This is Joseph's son. Isn't that surprising? I mean, Joseph is from a backwater, and this is a backwater, you know, with no education or whatever, and he's speaking so well. You know, and they're all happy, and it's like, you know, proud of the hometown boy and everything. But Jesus has to go and ruin it by saying, yeah, but, you know, probably shortly you're going to say, you know, well, why don't you do here all these wonderful stories we've heard about you, because the word travels fast, even though there's no internet, the word still gets around what Jesus is doing, and they know about it, and they're thinking probably, well, it's a good thing. Why don't you do some of these things here? You know, we've got needs in this area at your own hometown synagogue, Jesus, so why don't you do something here? And he just has to bring up the fact that who was the one healed of leprosy,
Naaman.
In Elijah's time. Naaman.
Naaman.
The foreigner. The hated foreigner. The uncircumcised Gentile. That dog. And Jesus has to mention there were lots of people with leprosy, but nobody was healed in Israel. Just Naaman the Syrian. You know. And so Jesus unmasks what's really in their hearts. You know, and you know, kind of makes me think, you know, when they're all speaking well of him and everything, you know, it's kind of the old Southern expression, bless your heart. And we all know what that means in reality. So, you know, it's kind of like that's what they were doing. They were like, oh, isn't this lovely? And Jesus isn't making waves. And it's really kind of sweet and precious. And we'll all forget this in a minute. But, you know, it's really nice right now that he's doing that. But Jesus unmasks what's really in their hearts. And they absolutely hate this. And so number three is the animosity. All of a sudden, Jesus points his finger directly at the thing that really is festering inside. They're the only ones who count. They're the only ones that should have any attention from God. And it is really not politically correct, Jesus, to talk about the healing of a non-Jew in the synagogue. We don't like that. That's really nasty. That's really rude of you. Not just is it rude of you, but it was super dangerous of you. And now all the nice things we were saying about you are going to be flipped on their head. And now we're out to get you. And so we're going to drive you out of the synagogue, and we're going to push you off the side of the hill. And then, of course, you know, Jesus walks through the crowd and walks away. You know, that's kind of a cool thing that he adds in there. So here's the reality that's going on behind the scenes. And this is the context where Jesus announces the year of the Lord's favor. And so I guess, you know, we are the recipients of the Lord's favor. God has shown himself to us. We're the ones who have seen him. We're the ones who've received him. So he's made us the church. He's made us his adopted ones, the called out ones, the ekklesia in Greek, the ones who've been called out of the world to follow Jesus and to represent him in this world. And so we live in the year of the Lord's favor. And I think number four, what I really would like us to spend the next several minutes with, is the 2019 update. The update of the Lord's favor. Now, you know, Brian cheated, and several of us cheated here this morning. You gave these updates before we got a chance to get into it, but that's okay. I'm sure we've got others that we can add. The blessing, you know, we're all aware of the wonky seasons, right? The ugly stuff, the hard stuff, the painful stuff, like what Hope's going through, etc. And we all know those. But what I really would like us to do this morning is spend some time giving 2019 updates of knowing, seeing God everywhere we go. How has God intervened? How is he intervening now that shows himself powerful, that is proof that we live in the year of the Lord's favor? So without getting, you know, the old country song, let the rough side drag, let the smooth side show. If you're old enough, you might remember that. But I think this morning, let's let the rough side drag, but let's let the smooth side show. Let's speak out the evidences, even in the last month or two, in the 2019 or recent, let's speak out about the evidences in our own lives that we are personally living in the year of the Lord's favor. So we'll leave in parentheses all the ugly part because we already know about that. But let's build each other up as we share those evidences of God's favor. And you know, we've already talked this morning about our moves and all of that going on. And there's just been so many evidences of God making a way. You know, we found the house we liked in Williamsburg. We put in an offer. It was accepted. We put our house on the market, and in 4 days, we had two offers. And
yeah.
It's hard to believe that we are just not even 2 months after, and that's been taken care of. And we just see how God has opened doors and saying, I see you. You know, and I almost think we could add another chorus to Rich Mullen's song and so have God speak to us and say, everywhere you go, I see you. And have God speak that to us, because I think that's true. He sees, he is the God who sees. He's not just the God who provides, he is the God who sees, as Hagar spoke. So let's just speak sometimes, what has God shown you? What has he done to show you again, afresh? And I need lots of reminders, and maybe you do too. What has he shown you lately that you are living in the year of the Lord's favor? And he's done that.
For me, I think he's just allowed me, he's told me once again where real treasure is. And I mean, I am very grateful that these things have fallen in place. I'm very grateful for, I mean, it's wonderful. We did pray our way through this from the very beginning. But in the midst of all of this, and the treasure is not, the treasure is, he is the treasure. Yeah. And that relationship in the quiet, which I love this song, in the quiet, the relationship with him, that is the sustaining treasure.
Yeah.
That is the sustenance of knowing him. It's like I can't wait to get up, get my Bible, get my cup of coffee, and just listen and read. But for me, that's the sustaining treasure. And then when I look historically back, that's always been the sustaining treasure, is his presence, his relationship, his salvation. You know, one of my favorite things, you know, when you get those wonky days, and there's always, part of the day is going to be wonky, right? And I always came to that that verse that's probably taken out of context. So, today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Let him come. Let him meet that need. And look for it. So I guess that's, you know, it's really the same thing. It's just in every season, he's the treasure, you know. And his word, you know, three things, you know, God's going to live forever because he's God, but we are going to live forever, and God's word lives forever. And just, that's the treasure, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One thing for me this year, working where I do, people are constantly, you know, striving for position and getting every training you can so you can get on your resume. And one thing I've wanted to do for a long time is get my accounting certificate or diploma or something. And so as I was listening to everybody around me, oh, you got to go, and you got to do this, and you got to enroll in this, and you got to do that, and it's like, the Lord just kept, peace, no, let me do it. Just relax. And so in November, every year we have our annual review, we have to set goals for the year. And our boss set some goals for us, and we set our own goals. But Tiffany asked me at our review, what are your goals for this year? And I just kind of blurted out, I want to get my accounting certification. And she said, okay. And she said, research a school and we'll pay for it.
Woo!
And so I did. And I'm working on it and I'm enrolled and things are going great. But not only that, but I'm also getting a certificate in nonprofit management that Williamsburg Health Foundation is paying for.
That's wonderful.
And yeah, so just getting a lot of really great training that I've been wanting to do, and I didn't have to strive for it. I didn't have to go and search it out and spend money that we didn't have to, you know, get in further debt with student loans and things to get that training. But we're just opening up the doors and just amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sweet.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
It is. I've been trying to remember something that the Lord told me a couple of hours ago, and it was wonderful, but it's gone right now. So when it comes back, I'll share it.
Well, I've already talked a bunch about all great things God has done for us in the last year or so, but just very quickly, about a year ago, with prayer and so forth, we decided it was time to get to the place where we were going to be for this last stretch in our earthly walk. Anyway, we decided to move down here from Ohio about a year ago. And it's just amazing what the Lord has done. Have there been trials and things that made us question it from time to time? Yes, but, you know, again, we sold our house in Ohio in one day for 98% of what we were asking. And we were able to get moved down here without killing ourselves.
Or each other.
And we sold the condo down here in 4 days for what we were asking. And people were saying, oh, it takes months to sell condo in that place. Some people have been trying to sell it for years, and somehow it happened, and we had two buyers and so forth. And we've been going through some various physical things and so forth, but somehow the grace has always been there to give us the strength to do what we need to do, and it's just been a blessing to see how the Lord has worked in this last year and preparing us for this quote, home stretch in our lives. And we keep praying that we can, quote, finish well to his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that doesn't mean that, you know, we will have no trials, but actually in the trials we can glorify him because if we can maintain a good attitude through those and then see how he comes through, it's such a witness. It's such a blessing.
Yeah.
And in the middle of all this, our daughter's gone through great trial, both financial and emotional, with the way her ex-husband who left her is worked on her. But in the end, it's really good. She's in a good place right now. And, and she's such a witness to all around her.
Yeah.
So we praise God for this last year. It's been great to see how he worked in our lives. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. You all know I deal with some pain here and there, and some for a long time, some more recent. And I was having a real difficult time. Gregory knows about playing big guitars. You know, the larger, the jumbos and the dreadnoughts where you have to reach around. I got a bad shoulder, and then the necks are so big, it's so hard to play sometimes, and the hands cramp up, and I got carpal tunnel. And so I kind of put out a flippant, you know, hey, does anybody want to get me a parlor guitar? And it was just, you know, just something I put out there on the Facebook and that. And sometime during that week, I got a message from a friend. Most of you, you know, were here when I shared that. And he said, well, is this one all right? And I said, yeah, that was perfect. How much is it? You know, where'd you find it? How much is it? And he said, well, give me your shipping address, your home address, and I'll ship it to you. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, no, seriously. And, you know, it's not a lot of money, but for us right now, it would be. And, you know, some people were kind of joking that, you know, where's my little six shooter and my toys, you know, under a cowboy hat and that. And, but it's based on a guitar from the 1930s. And I'm able to play it without the cramping up and where the sharp pains come in the wrist from the carpal tunnel. And it doesn't take up a lot of space, so it's not as loud. So I'm able to actually play it more in the apartment, and where I wasn't playing at all because I don't want to disturb the neighbors, because I have a tendency to overplay and play loud. This one here is nice, you know. And so, you know, I kind of had an idea of putting out another flippant request and saying, you know, does anybody have X amount of dollars, you know, so we can pay off these student loans? And, you know, because I did that several years ago when we needed something for the car. And, you know, I just said, you know, we got to get our car fixed, and it's going to cost this much. And the next thing I know, I get a text from a friend. And we set up, he's like, here's an app, get this app. And they sent the amount. He just set it up. And I was like,
yeah.
So you've been on my heart for a long time. And I wanted to, you know, I just didn't know what to do and how to do it.
Right.
God's got, he just has favor. He provides, you know, when we think there's no way, you know, like Don Moen's song, God Will Make a Way, where there seems to be no way.
Oh,
yes. He opens things up. And, you know, I'm a lot of times on social media, I'm a troll, and I'll say things and do things and, you know, try to get under somebody's skin, and sometimes they get it, and sometimes it turns into a little bit of a fight. And again, I've been trying not to do that, and it's been a real blessing because I've been able to see different perspectives, different people, and where we are. Where I work, there is a lot of, homosexuality within that corporation, and it's blatant, it's out front. And so rather than judge, to see people as, you know, everywhere I go, I see you.
Yeah.
To know that God still loves, and he woos, and he draws close, and he sings over people.
Yes.
And he accepted me where I was. So it's the year of the Lord's favor. Mm. Just to pray for people and be with, you know, one-on-one.
Yes.
As the world goes to turn, he makes that turn. A sharper turn towards the Lord's return.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. God is showing me that he hears my prayers. Mm. And also teaching me that even though I'll get right in the chaotic mode and I just like it's a like swimming backwards, no, I don't want to go there, you know, to what he's teaching me. And just rely on him and telling myself, you know, you got his peace. You know, and he's, the prayers, I mean, I'll have a prayer request and all of a sudden, because something I don't know anything about, what direction to go to, and I see it answered in something I'm reading online,
right?
You know, and then go from there. And Christopher, you know, he's got hired on at the shipyard. It's going to take about 6 weeks for him to go through everything, but doing the same thing as his brother, the interviewer remembered Stephen's name. I mean, after a year, she remembered his name. It's like, wow, God, that's pretty neat. And so Stephen's, you know, got a good reputation going on there, I guess, for her to remember that. But there's a lot of things with, even with what Established Footsteps is dealing with, the scriptures that we're doing with the women's ministry here. I mean, that's an answer to prayer. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen. So when I asked the Lord, I said, I really need to know how to really know you, how to go about doing that. And the way they have it all set up is really, really good. It's helped me a lot. So, and it's a continuing thing throughout this year.
Yeah. See, that's a perfect example of what I was saying here. The work of the Spirit in us during the various seasons of our lives, it's to stimulate reintegration.
Right.
To pull us back, you know, up over all the obstacles and whatever, and bring us back to the Father's heart. And so, you know, in some ways, we can understand better with that when Paul says, you know, I glory in the struggle. You know, it's kind of like, those things remind me of what I don't have, and it's in the process that God pulls me back into his heart and heals, you know, because the disintegration, the separation from the Father's love is a painful thing. If that separation is a hard thing. And so in all of these seasons, when we have the wonky season, as we're calling it, you know, God uses that to bring us back, to reintegrate us, to pull us back into the Father's heart, to heal us. And also that process, which I think is really exciting, is it also, the whole process brings glory to the Father.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we were out there, we were lost in our, dead in our transgressions and sins, Ephesians 2 says. And so all of this bringing us back and healing us and restoring us is also glorifying to the Father, because it's part of his plan. It's part of what he wants to do. And the fact that he does that without failing in all of us, regardless of how out there we were or are, you know, he still pulls us in. He still wants us closer and closer and closer. And he wants to heal us and bring fullness. And as an example to the world. And that, because what did Jesus say in his prayer? You know, the world will know that we are one by the love they have for one another.
Right.
So this, the more we're united, the more we avoid hate speech and all that kind of stuff, the more we build one another up, the more we display to the world that the love of the Father is in us, the more that brings glory to the Father. And that's just, that's part of his purpose. So I didn't mean to cut us off, so, because I'm sure there are other things we want to share. So anything else that's bubbling up that you recognize? Oh yeah, that's right. I am living in the Lord's year of the Lord's favor.
Mm-hmm. I just have to say in a general way, you know, I'm a guy who's always been a problem solver, you know, whether it's physics problems or whatever, you know, I can do lots of things and I try to, but it seems like more and more the problems I'm faced with, I can't solve, you know, just, but then God's grace is always there somehow or another. They get solved in a way that is just, to me, is totally out of left field in somewhere or another, you know, something I just couldn't possibly have imagined, you know. And it's just, it's actually getting to be kind of fun to see how the Lord's going to solve some of these problems. And I'm gaining more confidence, I must say. I don't mean to tempt anything here, but, you know, it seems like these problems come along and I say, I don't know what to do about this. And then in some period of time I see, oh, well, the Lord just did that and that problem is taken care of. And it's just a testimony to him, such a witness to him.
Yeah. Because this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is what he wants to do. His whole purpose is to do that in us, to build the church up and to expand his kingdom. So he isn't at all like waiting for us to mess up or, you know, do something to mess up his plan. You know, his plan is to get right in there in our hearts and to build us back into wholeness again. So, yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that's come to me recently is that I don't have to claw my way back into his favor.
Mm-hmm.
I can repent in whatever form and just acknowledge that that was wrong, and I'm right back there. I don't have to keep proving.
And as a matter of fact, we're never not there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you know, in our honeymoon, this crazy story, you know, that we were pulling off the highway and we're looking for the hotel we were going to be staying in one night, and from the map, this is long before GPS, of course, back in the old days, and so it looked like where we were staying was probably 10 or 15 miles off the highway. And so as we're pulling off, we had a toll booth. And so I just thought, you know, we'll ask the person, where is this town that we're staying in? And just because it would make it easier if I didn't have to get lost, since everybody knows my sense of direction is just about nil. And so the guy at the toll booth, you know, we just, you know, we paid the toll. And I said, could you tell us how to get to, and I don't remember even the name of the town now. And the funny thing is, he looks up. He looks up closer to the window. He goes, "You're in it." With that attitude, and I'm like,
"We were in New Jersey, by the way."
Okay. Sorry, Larry, but anyway, just his attitude. I was just asking for directions, and you know, it was all like, "You're in it." And so, in some ways, like the Lord's favor, we're in it.
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
He's there. And, you know, it's up to us, you know, going back again to Rich Mullins, everywhere I go, I see you, or I can see you, and everywhere we go, he sees us, because he's in there, and we can't not be a part of, you know, it's, we can't be partially in and partially out, you know, and someone's always used the illustration, a woman can't be partially pregnant, I mean,
yeah. You
either are or you aren't, and if, once you are, you are. And so I think God's favor rests on us, and we it's in the air we breathe, we sing. It's just, it's part of the life that now, this new resurrected life that he's given us, we live in it. And so I think we need to change our focus, maybe when we forget about these things, and to recognize that we are having the time of our lives, because we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. And
right.
He is for us.
Right.
And he wants these things for us. And I think part of what's true, certainly for me, is the Lord does a whole lot of things for me that I don't recognize him doing.
Yeah.
He just does them. And maybe I don't acknowledge it or don't take time. But it's in retrospect, I think maybe God was up to something there, because I think he might have done something to make this happen. And it would be so much funner if we recognize God's presence and his action when he's doing it. So actually being
yes.
in it, and to be able to rejoice in the middle of his provision and his grace and his favor. So
when you said, you know, the guy said, you're in it.
Yeah.
What came to mind is when Jesus said, are you still so dull? Don't you understand? Don't you get it?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, are you thick? What's going on?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. You can get it. You can understand. It's right here.
Yeah.
And that's, we're in it.
That's right.
Don't
we're,
you, don't, or why
we're
are
in
we
it.
Still so dull?
For all the good things, we're in it, and he's chosen us. So anybody else before we pray together?
Gosh.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Those of you don't know, I'm originally from here, and then we moved to Wisconsin, so it's like 1,000 miles away almost, and I have a 90-year-old mom that's a widow now here, and so I try to get back and be with her some, or she comes to visit me, but that's becoming harder and harder for her to get up there. And so the last two times, it's just been amazing how God, like, just made everything work out, you know? And we didn't really foresee anything, but it's just like, I'm trying to figure out how to tell you really quickly. But, like, in October was our 30th wedding anniversary, so we had this trip planned, and we planned it, you know, months ahead to go to the Asheville area, you know, with the Airbnb. Well, all of a sudden, they canceled on us, and we're like, what? So then we had to scramble and find another place, and it was on the whole other side of North Carolina, and it was a week earlier than we really wanted to go, and blah, blah, blah. Well, then my sister calls and says, hey, such a week, we're all getting together down at the Outer Banks for a reunion. Do you want to come? And it lined up perfect that we could go to this, you know, week in Murphy, North Carolina, and then drive to the coast and spend the weekend or a few days with them. And my mom was going to be there. So then Matt gets this work assignment in Newport News. He had to go home, and then he was going to be in Newport News for a week for a class. So we started doing the math, and I was like, oh, you can drive home. I can go home with mom and my sister, and you work that week back in Wisconsin, and then the company's going to fly you to North Carolina, and I'll be there with mom while you're in the class for a week, and then you can get in the car with me and go home. So it's like this three long thing that just like went.
Cool.
Nice.
Wow, isn't that cool? Well, that was back in the fall. Well, then now, I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I see mom before I go to Utah? Our son's just moved out to Utah.
Oh.
And we want to go see him, but that's the opposite direction. So I'm like, oh, that's the end of March, because we want to go when Caitlin's off. She's a teacher. She wanted to go during her spring break, so we're kind of confined to the last week of March to go to Utah. But I want to see mom, and it's been a few months, and I need to be there and give my siblings a break. And so I'm trying to figure that out. Well, my sister calls up and says, hey, I have this timeshare in Tennessee in Gatlinburg, and I have to use it right now. Can you meet me there? And, you know, that was last weekend.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, because, you know, it's like she's paying for it. You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that sounds awesome. Well, I didn't have a car, because we sent our reliable car with the boys to go to Utah. Well, this car becomes available. It's sitting right out there. It's kind of a fixer-upper. It's a BMW. It's a 2001. But my husband is great with fixing things. So he starts scrambling to fix this car in just like a week before this Tennessee Gatlinburg thing. He gets it done. I get on the road. I meet my sister. We have an awesome week together in Gatlinburg. And then we caravan together. I just got here Friday night. And so now I'm with my mom 2 weeks. And then I'm going to go back, drive home with this BMW. And we're going to get in the car and go to Utah.
Oh.
And I've done like this, you know, I've tested the vehicle now with my sister behind me safely. You know, it's just like all working out. It's just like, this is so cool.
It's almost like it's the year of the Lord's favor.
Yeah. So, anyhow.
That's awesome.
It's just kind of, I know it's kind of a long
no,
detailed story, but
not at all.
I don't know.
It's fun when those things just work like that.
Yeah. Yes.
And we recognize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's not an on again, off again. It's full on. So
again, my most common prayer is, Lord, help.
That's it.
And what
sure
I
is.
Find is he does. I'm still amazed.
Yeah.
Such a simple prayer. It's amazing. He is.
Yeah.
He answers it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help.
Well, let's praise him this morning. Father, we want more fully to recognize this year of your favor, this age that we live in, that you've not just made available, but you've placed us right in the center of it, and we're surrounded by your favor, by your great love for us, by this ongoing work of reintegrating
yes.
us into your heart and healing us, and through all the messiness of all of these training sessions that we go through, it also brings glory to you.
Yes.
So it makes the really, really wonky seasons worthwhile, when we recognize that you're getting mileage out of this, that it is building your kingdom, it is moving things forward, and people are noticing. Even when we don't, they notice.
Yes.
So, Father, could we live more and more in the words of this song, everywhere I go, I see you.
Yeah.
That we are in awe. That we could be like little children running up to a tiger's cage or up to the big turtle's tank or whatever. That we would see you and be excited to see you and know that it's going to happen and know that we're going to be safe and we're going to be provided for in the wildest, unforeseeable ways. You make a way. Father, could our lives count for you? Could we be willing to allow you to bring glory to yourself through us? Because that's really all that counts. So thank you for your love for us. Thanks for just spilling it out on us. Thank you for walking with us and giving us, allowing us to have the time of our lives because we're in you. So we bless you for this morning and this opportunity of just sharing together here now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now the song's going to be in my head all day. The time of your life. You know that song.
Oh, I got to do.
Sing it for us, Keith.
No.